do you get that from women as well?
Occasionally, because we, you know, of course you get the, wow, you play like a dude. You good for a girl. I mean, you killing some of these dudes. You killing like a lot of these. No, I'm going to tell you the truth. Okay. Well, thank you. I just keep it moving. I don't really dwell on that. Then I, you know, hear situations where, you know, they wanted, you know, guys wanted the boys in the situation. Okay. I, you know, that's when my faith has to kick in. Of course, not any less practicing, I guess, but my faith has to kick in. I have to believe that, okay, God, if you want this opportunity for me, it's going to happen. Whatever your will may be, you know, let it be. But absolutely, you know, there's situations where if we are, how would I say it, about our business, you know, you may be considered a B, and, you know, you have moments where so, then you have some colleagues where you hear, you know, they've, how would I say it, may have compromised their integrity to get to a position. I aim to protect. I'm trying to find a proper word, verbiage. I pray to God that I can, you know, continue to maintain my integrity in these situations. If that's still important to me.
Yeah, but I guess the question is, how long do we maintain? We'll always have integrity. I mean, we're representing God. We're representing our families. We're representing us. But then at some point, do you just be like, who can advocate for these issues, you know, that are constantly going on? And I agree, God has really protected you, protected me, protected some friends that I know. We don't have the typical stories, but there's still a mandate to advocate for other females, period, in these situations.
You know, when they, I don't know how, there, you know, there's an issue going on now, more so in the NFL, where the protests began with Kaepernick. And I heard some media mention, you know, they say, okay, now what do we do now? I saw some people from the NBA speaking on the subject as far as kneeling during the national anthem. And, you know, the cause is to bring awareness to the mistreatment of people of color,
right,
specifically Black and brown people by cops. Fast forward, I heard a media person say in the 60s, the whole point of protesting was to make people uncomfortable so you can get the people who can make things happen, make the moves for you. So in the 60s, you had to get the people in power to make the changes, to change the laws. Those were Caucasians. So if we take it to, 2017, people in power who can make things happen, they were the politicians. If we bring it to our field, entertainment, the people in power are the men. If we look at it that way, the people who have to speak up for us has to be a man to the men to say, hey, no, this is not cool. No, it's my little sister. No, no, we will not allow this to happen. You know, because we'll be looking like feminists. And they receive it from the power. If the powers that be make changes.
Well, I mean, this is getting exactly, these are the kind of conversations I live for, because I not only thoroughly agree with what you're saying, it goes even deeper to having more women be in position of power.
Yes.
And when you look at the
yes.
stats, you know,
I agree.
We believe in God. Let's be real. We have faith day in and day out, and sometimes it wavers. But the reality is prayer changes people and people change things. And when you have people that are in position that change things rightfully and that lean more towards feminine women or men, in whatever genre, occupation you're in, you will see a change. And so I feel it's a foundational situation that can be changed. I also believe, like you said, the Donnie McClurkins, the amazing Tyler Perrys, my mentors as well, I always ask the question, where are more female mentors and where are more females who will pull a woman aside and be honest with her, whether she's lashing out, whatever the case may be. I feel like it's a lot that goes into having more of an advocacy for us in general.
I had the opportunity to visit South Africa and Lusaka, Zambia. Someone pulled me to the side, and they were saying it was, I think, Women's Appreciation Month. And Tamar, they did an interview on the spot. And they wanted to know, you know, because they said they didn't see women musicians in the professional realm like that I was in. They didn't see a lot of that in that area. So I was like, are you serious? They said, no, we don't. They said, yes, we're serious. We don't see a lot of women in this area. What did you do? What did you do to get to this point? Like, what would you like to say to young women coming up? Tamar, I was blown away a bit. I said, practice. I'm paraphrasing. Well, I pretty much did say practice. I said, you know, you have, it's too many resources out here. You have YouTube, you have people, you have the internet, you have people you can talk to. They said, what do you do? They said, it's amazing. You said something there. You said, if people aren't in place of power, how are we going to be empowered? Well, you're empowering me right now, Tamar, with this conversation. I didn't know it was going to go here. You just told me what it was, because they don't see it, so they didn't know it was possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think like this, like on my own, and that's why I don't really play any music in the car, because I'm constantly asking questions that I'm bringing to you. You know, what we can hear, think about even when Oprah was on TV for years, every day we were empowered by the people she had on her show. They weren't always that we were the most inspired from. So to me, it's like, I don't have to hear another empowering story to know if God created me in his image and likeness, and I know who I am, and I humbly walk in love and believe that he's going to open up the doors. I shouldn't worry about the effects of people not doing something because X, Y, and Z. But then it made me go back to just the foundation of it. Where are more women in power in the arts? I'm not even saying in
that's
other
good.
Fields. I don't know the stats in other fields. It's not that I don't care. It's just that's not where my passion is. Where are the women in where we are? And I feel these kind of conversations is what will empower not just women, but everyone, that if you see something that's not in a realm in which you feel it should be, then that's where maybe God is using you to change that. And I feel like that's
wow.
Where you are in your field. That's why I feel as though I am in my field. And I feel like there's one thing that separates me or you with anyone else who may be in our age group or whatever is exposure. You were exposed to certain things. Your mom gave you a piano. She signed you up for piano lessons. The same thing with me. I read that you did gymnastics and dance just like I did. But my mom was the one who said, okay, how about we focus on this? So we can go on and on and on. Girl, these are the kind of conversations I live for.
You are USC graduate, aren't you?
Girl. Fight on.
You have Patrice Rushen. Isn't she there? Patrice Rushen. She's a professor there, right? Yeah.
Yep. She sure is. I think someone just ran an article on her in a magazine I have. I actually saved the article so I can read it when I travel this weekend. But I was just so excited to see her because I was like, oh my gosh, when's the last time you've heard her name in major?
Wow.
You know, and it's just like she is a living icon.
Living
of
icon.
Us, you know what I mean? Of us.
Yes. I attended one, if we can word it that way, her webinar. I don't know if it was a couple of years ago. She gave a lot of information.
So you got to tell us a little bit before I let you go to all the young listeners about what it means to be a musical director. And I don't know if you have an interesting story like most of us and how we met Mr. Perry and how he sees what God has given you and he trusts you to do what you do. But how did you not only land the opportunity to work with Mr. Perry, but how did you just go on and swipe up that title, musical director?
There was a play, Madea's Big Happy Family was running in 2010, and there was going to be a replacement on, I think, keys. And my name was brought up. Fast forward, a few of the musicians in the band vouched for me. I think they dropped a guy off in one city, picked me up in another city. I met Mr. Perry during prayer before the play. He said, oh, you're the new keyboardist? I said, yes. He said, oh, okay. Well, all right, let's pray. You know how cats, you know, that's how that went. That was my first time meeting him. Of course, he had the heads up. And I guess it worked out, you know, as I played. Now, as far as musical director, the great Ronnie Garrett is pretty much his musical director for the plays. For one particular play, I think Ronnie had a schedule conflict. And the play was, I believe, called Hell Hath No Fury, like a woman scorned. So he left me in charge. That's literally how that happened. And we did quite a few months with that one. He left me. I joked with him because there's a line from one of the plays, you left me out there to die. So that's the reference I used to say. Somebody, you left me out here to die. But it was good. So I'm grateful for that opportunity. So I was filling in as the musical director for Hell Hath No Fury, like a woman scorned. And I want to say that was a Tuesday through Sunday play. So you know the differences.
There's differences.
We were out there.
All right, so let's get to where you are today. You know, ironically,
yes, ma'am.
Where are you today? I haven't seen you in 3 years, almost four now, and I know you have Worship and Praise, a new single. And when I tell you I am bumping that song, it's just
really?
The clarity, the vibe, the singer. I mean, I'm sitting there listening to the song. I'm like, okay, I can hear Natalie, but I'm thinking you're going to have a solo. And I'm like, no, this is a gospel song. She's not going to have a solo. You have to go hear her live. You know, tell me about that song. What inspired you to arrange that Latin kind of praise and worship song?
Ooh, let's see. Worship and Praise melody. It came to me years ago. There was a local community choir here that they were called David Walker and High Praise. They're still here. They sang it. I played for them, and I basically revamped the music a bit. You know, made sure it was current, fresh, and relevant. The words exhibit, you know, they basically exhibit how I feel. A friend suggested to me when I was going through songs, trying to pick the single. As I, you know, I'm currently working on my album, a friend suggested that, you know, this should be your single. Lord, I worship and praise your name. Alpha and Omega, you remain King of Kings. We're Lord of Lords. And both heaven and earth proclaim. Lord, I worship and praise your name.
Have you always wanted to record an album, or was it just kind of like, okay, it's time?
Probably a combination. And that you hit on that Latin part. I do have a strong, although I don't know if I was able to it much on the road. You know, you make the songs be what they are. You give the songs what the songs need. But Chick Corea is a strong influence. I love Spain. So there are kind of little elements. I love like Yellow Jackets. I love Afro-Cuban rhythms. I love drums. So that's kind of how that came about, I guess we'd say. And as far as the album, I just was writing songs. I began maybe as a teenager, but that's where the shy, or we're saying coy, that's where that kicked in, where the shyness, you know. I don't know, I mean, you're an awesome musician yourself, you know, you sing, what they say, you sing down. Is that the term? You let us.
We're going to make it a term today.
So, I know for me, I would go through moments like, oh, I don't know if this music is good enough. I don't know if this song is good enough. Then you have moments like when I met the young ladies in Lusaka, Zambia, and they're inspired musically. No, it was Johannesburg. They're inspired musically. Those moments, it's like, I need to get this music out. There are people who need to hear it. Someone will be blessed. So that's kind of the approach I took, like, hey, I just got to get this music out. I got to get it out of me. I'm here to leave a legacy. I need to leave this music legacy. That's how it came about. You know, I'm working on completion now of the album.
Well, Natalie, I could go on and on and on. You're saying some key things that I'm like, I think the same way. Let's get the music out. And then you have the people that are like, well, you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do this. And I just applaud you from the bottom of my heart as a woman of God to another woman of God. I know the road is definitely interesting every single day, but kudos.
Amen.
To you for finally getting music out, original content. You realize once God has given you all of this, it does not make any sense to keep, you know, playing everybody else's music when you can just slow
Amen.
Put some music out there. So thank you so, 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 so much. What do you have coming up outside of the album? Like, what can we be supporting you in a city somewhere? What's going on with you?
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Tamar, to share. I'll be performing either that single or maybe my next single, November 3rd, Spelman Morehouse Clark. They come together for a gospel concert. So that'll be November the 3rd at 7 p.m. It's a praise fest. This literally, I think I've been at it.
We sing hallelujah, worship, hallelujah, worship.